I kept falling in high school. Well, it was primarily my sophomore year in high school, I kept falling. And the main reason that I kept falling is that I was being pushed over. When I was a sophomore in high school, my older brother was a senior. And he had friends. And if you know anything about brothers and friends, the friends of your older brother like to pick on you. And so what they would do is one of the guys would get behind me and get down on his hands and knees behind me, and the others would come up to me and push me. And I would fall over the guy behind me. It got to the point where I would see them coming and I would start backing up. They didn't even have to push me and I would fall over. One time, they did that, and then for some reason they started kicking me. That wasn't fun. So I wonder, do you remember a time when somebody bullied you? Do you remember a time when somebody picked on you? Maybe they were jealous of you. Or maybe for some reason they didn't like you, or they wanted something you had. So maybe they didn't push you over like my brother's friends did, but they embarrassed you. They teased you. Maybe they beat you up. Got any battle scars from that? Maybe they spread lies about you and told stories about you that weren't true. So that's what's behind the story we're looking at today from Acts chapter 4. This morning, this is the lesson. Since this is Children's Sunday, this is the lesson that the children would go over. And so this is for the children, but adults, I want to give you permission to listen in as well. So, notice the jealousy in this passage, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the reason they were speaking to the people is all the people had rushed in. They had healed this crippled beggar, and everybody was amazed, and they came rushing in, and this guy was healed in the name of Jesus. So they were curious about that. They were speaking to the people. They were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there was resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, since it was already evening, and put them in jail until morning. But many of the people heard their message, believed in it, so the number of men who believed now totaled 5,000. Understand this, 3.5 years earlier, it was Jesus. And he had 12 disciples, and he went teaching for 3.5 years, was crucified and resurrected. Now there's over 5,000 people in that group. And the leaders were jealous. They had tried to stomp out this group of followers of Jesus, but now it's getting big. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this? We know that you're using some power because what you did isn't normal." And see, here's the attack. We're going to take a look at attacks and responses this morning. The attack was they got arrested. Have any of you ever been arrested for your faith? In foreign countries, that's a normal thing. You get arrested. So everybody came together, they got arrested. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man?" So he's saying basically, so let me get this straight. A crippled man was healed and we're in jail because of that. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Why were the leaders upset? Because they didn't want Peter to talk about Jesus. So what did Peter do? He talked about Jesus. I love that. He said he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified. Wow. Right between the eyes. That's where Peter was aiming. Who are we talking about? The Jesus you crucified. But whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, "The stone the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." What's the cornerstone? When they built a building back then, they would set one stone first. That's the cornerstone. All the measurements from the building came from the cornerstone. You measure this way, this way, this way, this way. And so, how do you know the building is right? It's based on the measurement from the cornerstone. That is the most important stone in the building. And Jesus is the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Are there many ways to God? One. Peter was saying there's only one way. And that is through Jesus. So, the attack, they got arrested. The response is to point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. And that's what they did. So, what do they do now? And so, they called a private council. They put Peter and John out and they talked. Kids, have your parents ever done that? Said, "Kids, your mom and I need to talk. Go in the other room and we're going to talk." Man, I remember when mom and dad did that. We were like, "Shh. What are they saying? We want to know what's going on." And then they would come back in with their decision. That's what was happening there. They called a private discussion to talk about what's going on. And then verse 18, they were done with their discussion. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. Don't ever speak in the name of Jesus again. They were told to be quiet. Have any of you ever been told to be quiet? I have been told that all my life. For different reasons. First note I ever took home from school was in kindergarten. And it said, "Kenny talks during nap time." That's the story of my life. They were told to be quiet. So what do you think Peter and John did? What do you think the apostles did? They were told to be quiet. They're not to talk again in the name of Jesus. So how did they respond? Verse 19. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop." He didn't say, "We will not stop." We cannot stop. There was something in them. There was power in them. There was a Holy Spirit in them. We can't stop. If we stop, we're going to burst. If we don't speak about the name of Jesus, we're going to burst because that's in us, and we got to let that out. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We know about what Jesus did today because those men didn't shut up. And they taught and they spread around that area and they shared the good news. And we know about it today. So how did they respond? Always obey God. Always obey God. That's what they did. Always obey God. So how could the council stop them? Peter said that. We got to obey God. So the only thing they had left was intimidation. You know what an intimidation is? Oh, yeah? I probably don't look. I'm too much like a grandfather to be intimidating. But they tried to threaten them, and notice what it says. Verse 21, the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. It wasn't just a guy, he sprained his ankle 3 weeks ago, and he can't play basketball for a while. This guy has been lame for 40 years. They were threatened. And that's scary. These were powerful men. These were the religious leaders of that area. So what did they do? This is pretty scary. They could put them out, and they would be on their own. There were Jews. The Jews that listened to the religious leaders would have nothing to do with them. And it could harm them financially. So what did they do? Verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Now, imagine you've been in jail overnight, you've been on trial, and you got released. What would you do? How would you respond? You have a party? Listen what they did. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. They prayed to God. Here's what they prayed. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against the Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city, for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor of the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united. They were enemies before, but they were united in this one thing. What was that one thing they were united? They were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. So what did they do? Were they going, well, God, this life is so hard. Did they do that? Did they complain? Did they plot revenge? Oh, we're going to get them. I know where they live, and I'm going to wait, and first thing in the morning when they're going out, and I'm going to jump them, and I'm going to pound some sense into them. Would you like to do that to the bully that picked on you? What did they do? How did they respond? And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. Wait. All the other Jews in the city hated them. And what did they want? They wanted God to heal them and bring healing to people who don't know him yet. Do you hear the love in that? These people were terrible to them, and they said, God, heal them. May your healing hand be on them. That's awesome. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. You see, power happens when you pray. It shook the world. There was an earthquake, and it shook their souls. They were threatened, and then what did they do? They prayed. They prayed. And that's what we need to do when we face difficulties. And so, as a church, that's what we're going to do. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a service where we're going to spend a lot of time in the service praying. We've got some needs in the family that we're going to spend time praying about. And so we're going to take time to do that. That's when we face difficulties, we're going to spend time praying. And so we're going to have a little bit different service in a couple of weeks because we're going to pray. But here's the question. You look at these disciples and you think, how could they respond like that? I mean, that's... Look at that. That's not normal. Right? To respond like that isn't normal. How could they do that? How could they do that? I don't know if you noticed, but I skipped a verse. Verse 13. Notice what it says in verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men. How many of you are ordinary? You got a couple of ordinary people. I'm an ordinary guy. On a good day. On a bad day, I'm less than ordinary. They were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized that them as men who had been what? They had been what? With Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And that made a difference. One time, when I was a kid, we found a skunk. And there were five of us boys in the family, and we didn't like skunks. And guess what we had in the fields around us? We had dirt clods. And for about an hour, hour and a half, we threw dirt clods at that skunk and we chased him away and we just had fun throwing dirt. At no time in that hour and a half did that skunk ever raise his tail and squirt us. We tried to be on the good side of the skunk at all times. At no time did he squirt us. But we were throwing dirt clods at him and we were having fun, you know, playing around with that skunk. And so it got to be, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and we decided to go inside the house. I don't know if you know this, I had a mother. And that mother of mine, the woman that gave birth to me, prevented us from entering the house. You smell like a skunk. Why did we smell like a skunk? Because we had been close enough with the skunk that we took on the smell of the skunk. And so we stayed outside playing softball underneath the nightlight till about 1 o'clock in the morning when we were too tired to play anymore and we snuck in the house. We had been with the skunk and the smell of the skunk stuck and stunk with us. The disciples had spent 3.5 years with Jesus. And the smell of Jesus, the power of Jesus, was all over them. Jesus was gone, but because they had spent time with Jesus, that power was there with him. They were reflecting the image of Jesus. So, what does it mean to be with Jesus? Does it mean saying, well, I know who Jesus is, he was in the Bible? No. To know Jesus means to spend so much time with him that you begin to act like he does. You begin to do the things that he would do. You do the words, you speak the words and the actions that reflect Jesus. Do you remember why Jesus chose his disciples? What was his purpose for his disciples? Mark 3:14 says that. He appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach or to share the good news. So how do you spend time with Jesus? You spend time with Jesus reading your Bible and praying. Reading your Bible and praying. Or the habits of a follower of Jesus. These are the habits. Read, be in God's word, relate, love God and your neighbors, and reach, point people to Jesus. That's what the disciples were doing. Read, relate, and reach. Spend time with Jesus doing that. And then you will be like this thing. What's this? A mirror. Hi, Maddie. You're in the spotlight. Wow, this is way too much fun for a kid. Hi, Lynn. This is a mirror. And why do I have this? Because that's what we are. We're a mirror to the world, and we are to reflect to the world Jesus. We're supposed to reflect Jesus to the world. And so, kids, as a reminder of that, we have a card that has a mirror and Jesus' image on that. So when you leave today, be sure and grab one of these. It's a reminder that what we do and what we say, we're supposed to reflect Jesus. So here's the bottom line. Being with Jesus prepares me. Being with Jesus prepares you. You know what for? Whatever. Whatever happens next, you spend time with Jesus. You spend time with Jesus and you pray, and it's amazing. I can't tell you the number of times I coincidentally bump into people. You know what coincidence means? Coincidence is another way of saying God's in charge. And God arranges meetings, and you bump into people, and I had that happen this week, and I said, you know, this isn't a chance meeting. God set this up, and they said, yeah, this is right. I needed this conversation. God will do that. You spend time with Jesus, and he prepares you for that, and he will do things in and through your life because you do that. What would this community look like if we all did that? If we all, throughout the day, you see different people than I do. You go to different places than I do, and wherever you go, we each one reflects Jesus and acts like Jesus. And people, just like they did then, will rush to say, what is going on? we see Jesus doing amazing things. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. And as we pray, I want you to simply ask for something. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. So in prayer, ask for this. Say, God, give me the boldness that Peter and John had. Say, Father, help me to reflect Jesus in all I say, in all I do. Father, you want to do amazing things through us. Your word makes that abundantly clear. You want to do things beyond our imagination. And so, Father, we simply come before you as your servants and say, you have our permission. Do whatever you want in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.